Hey everyone, on today's podcast, we discuss nutrition and how to fuel your performance for our sport. When I was competing, nutrition was key to me. I learned about the correct foods to help give me energy for dance class and the correct foods leading up to major championships to fuel my performance. Now, as athletes, nutrition plays a huge role in our dancing, so it's very important to know the correct foods that our body needs for our sport. Listen up as we teach you what carbohydrates are and how they fuel your performance.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Ask Rich and Height Show, episode 11. And on today's show, we're going to talk about how to fuel your performance.
My name is Lauren Early, and I'm a former six-time World Irish Dance Champion who is now devoted to helping every dancer achieve big dreams of their own. On each episode, we will bring you the best questions to help you discover and unlock your full potential so that you can benefit in every possible way. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Okay guys, so welcome back to the show. Today, pretty much, or this week, a lot of people are on dance camps. Lauren is away to a dance camp. She's taking one in Dublin. And all of the dancing community seem to have dance camps this week. So I hope you're all training really hard on those and having fun and enjoying yourselves. And it's a welcome break from the competitive side of dancing. Based on around that, we've had a few questions come in around nutrition and food. What types of food should we be eating? Of course, your dance camps are probably spread over 4 days, 5 days or whatever, and they're long days. And so obviously nutrition is massively important, as it is all days. So up until now, we've kind of tried to keep the topics of the podcast and show surrounded around the same types of things. So it's around performance, stamina or whatever it might be, and we haven't really touched on any nutrition based podcasts just yet, but I think now would be a really good time to actually answer some of those questions on the show so that we can actually just go into a little bit more detail and use this period where there's not really a lot of competitions happening and most people are on dance camps, they're having breaks and so on, that we can actually sit back and actually have a look at nutrition because it is a little bit more detailed. Of course you can make changes straight away, but the most important thing is just understanding. With food, it's understanding why you're choosing certain things and just understanding a little bit of what that food gives you as opposed to just going and doing a training session where you don't really need to know as much detail. So we had a question come through from a girl called Mairead. And Mairead basically asks, "Hi Lauren, what types of foods do I need to eat to give me energy to dance better? I have a dance camp happening all week and I want to make sure I have as much energy as possible." Okay, Mairead, so nutrition is one of these subjects that we could literally talk. I could do 100 podcasts on nutrition, and it's kind of the more you know, the more you realize that you don't know, right? And sometimes that's one of the biggest problems with information is that when you give people a little bit of information, sometimes a little bit of information can be worse than no information at all. So for any of you that are on the academy, you will realize that you probably went from learning nothing and just doing your dancing, but not really understanding anything about it, to all of a sudden being thrown into the deep end where you have 300,000 words to learn in 6 months. And I know it's extreme and I know it's a lot of work and it's definitely being thrown in the deep end, but like I just said, the issue with information, especially when you're talking around training and nutrition and you're dealing with people's bodies and physiques and performance, is that little bit of information just really doesn't help anybody because it's kind of like opening the doors but not fully explaining it, and it kind of becomes dangerous because people then take that information and they suddenly feel the need to be granted to give people advice based on that. For example, when we talk about nutrition, if it's happened before with a lot of clients and you always hear it happening. If I train a client who loses a lot of weight, the first thing their friends are going to do is they're going to ask her, how did she do that? Now, the first thing she's going to do is, because something worked for her, she's going to start telling other people as to what she done. So other people start following that advice. And suddenly then when it stops working for them, they go back to her and she doesn't know how to change anything. So just because something worked for someone doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody. And it definitely doesn't grant anybody authority to start giving people advice. And so this is why in the academy we went to great, great detail around the learning aspect of training and nutrition. So people really get a full understanding of how complicated it is. And the end answer when it comes to nutrition is always, it depends. It depends on so many factors. I've never worked with you, Maria. I've never worked with anybody who's listening or watching this. And so when you're giving out advice or talking about any of these types of things, the answer is always, it depends. And so when we're going to start talking about fueling your performance today, ultimately the answer is just going to be, it depends. So I'm going to give a few different scenarios of where things might be relevant to people, but you must then obviously categorize yourself into where you might fall into those different types of places, because not everybody's going to fuel their performance exactly the same, okay? And so let's kick off with how do you actually fuel your performance, or fuel any movement really? To fuel movement, you're going to need energy, okay? It's pretty obvious. So to put energy into the body, you can get energy from carbohydrates, or you can get energy from fats. All right, now fats are a little bit more slow burning. So you can think of fats as like putting diesel into a car, okay, or a lorry or a bus. It's a little bit more slower. It's a little bit more slower process to produce energy and so on. But ultimately, it will give you energy. At times where exercise isn't really intense, or when energy isn't readily available, we can tap into fat. Now, really what we're looking for though from an athletic performance perspective is always going to be carbohydrates. Now, when I mention the word carbs, a lot of people, 50% of the world kind of freak out because they've read all these magazines where people claim the carbohydrates are bad, especially all the women. They'll claim carbs are bad, carbs are this, carbs are that, stay away from them, avoid them. And then you have 50% of the world who don't really understand what carbs are. Or of course, you'll have a small percentage of people that will be more the athletic population, and they'll understand how important they are. But one of the issues we have here is that, let's say for example, well, first of all, carbs, they give you energy, right? So carbohydrates are the body's preferred source of energy. And they're really, they're the foods that everybody loves, yeah? So that all of your sweets, your sugars, starches, pasta, breads, rice, cakes, sweets, fruits, all those types of foods. Of course, you can go even deeper. You can say good carbs, bad carbs, or sugary carbs and slower digesting carbs, such as potatoes and so on. But ultimately, it's food that just gives you energy, okay? Now, one of the issues with this is that when people read a magazine, so let's say I'm an athlete or a dancer, and I'm reading a magazine, a women's magazine that's based around post-pregnancy fat loss, or is based around, you know, just your typical article that you're going to see in a women's magazine. It's generally based around weight loss, calorie reduction, all of those sorts of things, slimmer, healthier, and so on. Now, with that type of article is going to come a reduction in food, and it's probably generally going to come with a reduction in carbohydrates, right? Now, the issue with that is if you're a dancer reading a magazine like that, the population is going to be reading an article like that are probably going to be your overweight type, middle-aged moms, or like I say, post-pregnancy or whatever it might be. And so that article might be applicable to them, but it doesn't mean it's going to be applicable to you. But nowhere in that article does it rule out this is not for athletes, or if you're under 12% body fat or whatever it might be, right? So this is where the information can kind of get a little bit misconstrued. But so you're reading that magazine, you think, okay, carbs are bad, right? The headlines are how low carb diet, this is the best thing ever, and so on and so on. Now, ultimately, as a dancer, carbohydrates, you're going to really need them, okay? They're going to fuel your performance. For someone who's overweight, maybe not so much. Now, the flip side of that is also true. You could be someone that's overweight, you could be reading a magazine that's based around performance, and they're saying how you need a high carb diet and so on, and ultimately that's not what an overweight person is going to require, okay? But let's define carbohydrates first. They're just basically the body's preferred source of energy. They're going to be broken down into glucose. They can be readily absorbed inside every cell in the body, and they can pretty much provide you with energy very, very quickly to do the job you need. Okay? Done. So in a short answer for Maria, it is simply going to be eat more carbohydrates, right? But then how much is too much, and where do we go into that sort of detail? So we know that nutrition can be a very complex subject, and I don't want to rush into everything and try and fit all of it into this podcast, because we'll try and do a few more on nutrition as we go, more on protein and so on as the weeks go by. But let's use this analogy for carbohydrates. So carbohydrates are providing you with energy. So where do they actually provide you with energy? They obviously have to enter the muscle, okay? So the muscle is like the engine of the car. That's the furnace. That's where you're going to put the coal in the fire, essentially. Or the petrol in the tank, right? Now, you have a muscle that could be empty or could be full, and that muscle can kind of store a certain amount of carbohydrates in the cells, right? So if you don't have energy, the muscle is going to be low in carbohydrates. And so when you eat energy, that muscle is going to absorb those carbohydrates very, very fast. Now, what happens if your muscle is full, okay? Then essentially there's nowhere for that energy to go anymore. Now, how I like to explain this is this. It's like, imagine you park your car, and we're going through this in the academy in week 13, I believe, where we start looking at the nutrition module in the academy. We go into a little bit more detail in week 13. We start looking at things like fueling your performance and just getting the dancers to profile themselves a little bit better and understand their needs. Ultimately, when people eat, they eat for pleasure, right? They don't eat for purpose. But essentially, when you eat food, you should really be eating for purpose, and you should be going, okay, why am I choosing this food? What do I need to get out of it? But essentially, people are choosing food for pleasure because they want to get out of it something that tastes nice rather than something that's going to have a benefit to the body. For example, if you're a dancer who's going to go and buy a Gatorade, you might be going to buy that Gatorade because you're going training, and then you know that it's providing you with the sugar and the energy that you require to fuel that workout, okay? That's a really good way to think. And then you just need to apply that rule to the rest of your food, because then you're going to go home and you're going to go, okay, I'm going to maybe have some protein because I know I need that protein to help me recover from the workout or whatever it might be. So you're adapting that mindset to all of your food. And then, of course, you can have a treat here and there, and that's for pleasure, but ultimately it should, 80 or 90% of it should all be around purpose. But then if you're someone that's overweight or someone that just goes and buys a Gatorade because you like the taste of it, it's really defeating the purpose of that product. Now, of course, if you're the company who sells it, Coca-Cola or whatever, you obviously don't mind, because half of your, probably 80 or 90% of it's going to come from people that just like the taste of it anyway. But that's the mindset you need to be in when it comes to nutrition, right? So here's the analogy I'll use when we talk about carbohydrates. It's, imagine you park your car in your garage, okay, and you fill it up with gas or petrol. So you fill it up with gas and you park your car. And then you go away for a week. You don't drive your car for an entire week. And then you come back a week later and you try to fill up the petrol tank again. What's going to happen? Okay, your petrol tank's going to overspill, right? Why is that going to happen? Because you haven't moved the car in an entire week. So that petrol tank is still completely full, or your gas tank's still completely full, because the car hasn't moved. So there's no energy that's being consumed, okay? Now, it's essentially the same in the human body. If you fill your body full of carbohydrates or full of energy or petrol or gas, whichever way you want to look at it, you're providing your engine with a lot of energy. Now, what happens if you don't move that car all week? You don't move your body all week or very little. There's no great requirement to have even more energy or carbohydrates coming in, because your petrol tank isn't being emptied. Make sense? So if you look at someone that's overweight, this is essentially why we would be told to restrict carbohydrates for someone that's overweight. Because when you're overweight, your muscle cells are pretty much already full, okay? So what happens when you eat carbohydrates is they get broken down and they get carried to the muscle, where they pretty much stand at a door at the muscle and go, okay, can we enter the muscle? If there's no room, then the carbohydrates will be refused entry into the muscle, and then they'll go back into the bloodstream. They'll circle around where we have high sugar levels, and then they're going to have to eventually be led down as fat, okay? Now, fat is then basically an energy store. So you imagine then that you have a car and you have a full gas tank, but then you also have a jerry can in the back and it's full of petrol, gas too. So that's your fuel reserve, okay? It's not attached to the engine. It can't directly go into the engine, but you still have a reserve in the trunk of your car in case you need it, in case you don't pass another gas station or whatever it might be, right? It's the same in the human body. Now, you know you can walk down to your supermarket and buy food tomorrow, but your body doesn't know that. It's still programmed from millions of years ago where your body needed a reserve source of fuel for feast or famine, right? You might have food, then for the next 4 or 5 days, you might not have any food. So body fat is essentially a reserve source of energy, okay? So essentially, people who are the most overweight in the world, they essentially have the most energy, because that's what body fat is there for, okay? So you then basically put more petrol in your car. There's nowhere for it to go. It overspills, okay? Now, what we're then looking to do is try to create space inside that muscle cell, okay? So when someone who is overweight tries to eat more carbohydrates, which is generally what the addiction is or where the issue comes from, they're eating the carbohydrates and it's going in, but it's not getting to where it needs to go, okay? So it's like putting gas in your car, but putting it into the back seat of the car instead of into the gas tank. All right, it's still going into the body, but it's just not able to get to where it needs to go, because when it goes to the muscle is already full of energy. So the body goes, we can't accept this yet, so we're going to have to lay it down as body fat. And it lays it down as body fat for a time in the future where it will need it again for the muscle. The problem is if you continue to eat eating carbohydrates, there's no need to ever tap into the body fat because the extra carbs that you eat are continually filling up any space that is inside the muscle, okay? So essentially then, with an overweight client, we're going to restrict carbohydrates initially because I want to create space inside that muscle. So I'm going to get them to move a little bit more and we're going to lower the carbohydrates that are going in. Now what happens here is as they're moving more, their gas tank is being emptied a little bit more, and as they're eating a little bit less, there's no reserve coming in, which means what's going to have to happen, the body's going to have to tap into the muscle or the body fat stores, start carrying it back out, reverse the process and bring it back into the muscle to be burnt as fuel, okay? So that's essentially how fat loss works, is that we will overeat in carbs, they'll be led down as fat. We wouldn't have any food really will be led down as fat. But you overeat, it gets led down as fat. When you then have space inside the muscle, it will be brought back in, but it's up to the person to create the space, which is essentially why exercise will help you burn fat. You're just creating movement, okay? So I hope that helps you understand that. Now, that's for someone that's overweight. So their petrol tank or their gas tank isn't being emptied very often in comparison to the amount of petrol or gas that they're putting in, right? Now, if you're then a dancer and you're doing a dance camp for 5 days per week, 5 days this week, like Maria is, that gas tank is gonna be emptied very, very quickly every day, okay? Which is essentially why carbohydrates now become a huge requirement for someone like that, because your gas tank, your car is never in the garage. It's being moved all the time, okay? If you look at someone that finds it easy to put on weight, their movement is generally very low. They don't move a lot, okay? So they'll claim to put on weight very easily, but they just don't really move very much. If you look at someone who finds it hard to put on weight, okay, someone that's very active and very, very lean, they find it hard to put on weight. It's just because they're moving so much. If you track their movement, track their steps, they're moving so much, right? So the whole idea here is that if someone wants to put on weight, we try to get them to do a little bit less so that they're not clearing out the tank as much. If someone's trying to lose weight, we try to get them do a little bit more. And that's just from a weight loss, weight gain perspective, right? But if we're talking here from athletic performance perspective, then you also have a couple of categories. If you're a dancer who is at ideal weight, okay, then you want a diet that's maximizing carbohydrates because your petrol tank's being emptied all the time. Now, if you're a dancer who is underweight and needs to increase their strength or their power, or they're just too efficient, then they need to put on a little bit of weight, you would also then need to eat more than what you're burning off. Of course, that's going to put you in a calorie surplus and you're going to increase weight. And then if you're a dancer who needs fat loss, so if you're too heavy of a dancer or your body fat is too high, and by the way, a lot of people are a little bit iffy about talking about these subjects, but ultimately it is what it is, right? No one's judging anybody. There is lots of dancers out there, every sport. I've worked with the heaviest people in the world, I've worked with the lightest people in the world, I've worked with every type of person you can imagine, and so it's a little bit easier for me to talk about this, but ultimately it is what it is, yeah? If you want to be, there is an ideal body fat range for optimal performance, and you're either in it or you're not. So if we're in that range, maximizing carbohydrates is perfectly fine because we need that energy, right? If you're under that range and you're too light, or you need to increase your weight, obviously we need more than what we're burning off. And if you're out of that range and we're too heavy, then sometimes it's okay to go through a period of dieting or reducing or restricting energy and take a little bit until we just reverse the process of body fat and we chip away at that, and then we're back in the game at a normal range, okay? So you may need to restrict that a little bit. That's why I said at the very start, the answer is really, it depends, right? Because I just don't know what type of body type Maria is, yeah? So I'm trying to get you guys to categorize yourselves a little bit. And that's ultimately it. So we just need to, if you're a dancer who is lean and optimal weight, we just need to maximize performance, and therefore carbohydrates should make up 50% of your diet. They should be in every meal because your petrol tank's being emptied all the time. If I have trained someone that's overweight, there'll be zero carbohydrates in their diet for the first few weeks anyway, because whilst an athlete's nutrition plan might be made up of 50% carbohydrates or even 60, I've went to, or sometimes even 70, when the people that are really, really efficient and really, really lean. The flip side of that of someone that's overweight is that they just don't process carbohydrates well, and they'll get very little until they start dropping and creating space, and then we'll put some in. Yeah, but this is why most overweight people feel very, very tired, because of that whole process that I explained. The carbs go in, they're refused entry into the muscle, they float around the body, they get laid down as fat, they're tired, and so then the cravings come again, and it's just a kind of vicious cycle. And ultimately, you just need to create space, right? So, and then obviously you have to look at the power to weight ratio type element. So as a dancer, as an athlete in any sport, you're always going to have a certain type of weight. If you look at like boxing or whatever, there's always going to be like weight categories. So these people will always have to alter the nutrition based on the weight they need to be at, boxing, judo, and so on. If you look at someone like a dancer, there's really no weight restrictions, but we just need a really good power to weight ratio. And really what that means is we need to have you as strong as possible, but also as light as possible in that strongness, okay? And so that your power to weight ratio is really, really good, and that you're getting maximal lift off the ground. If I put 4 kg or 5 or 6 kg weighted vest on you and try to get you to jump, your height is gonna be massively restricted and you're never gonna be able to get up on the hips or get up on the toes, okay? Because it's just extra weight. If you're optimal body weight, then those things should be a little bit easier and you can control things better. So that's really where we're at with carbohydrates, part of weight ratio. You just want to make sure as a dancer you're there. If you're not there, which is fine, everybody can take a month off or a few weeks off and go crazy. And when I talk about dancers being overweight, I'm talking about overweight. I'm literally talking when people are drifting, you know, a few kilos here or there. You know, Lauren did it. Everybody does it when they take a break. They want to eat bad food. That's fine. As an athlete, you can process that and deal with that for a short period of time. When it's time to get back on the bandwagon again, and it's going to be off season, you might not have a competition for months and months and months. Off season is always a really good time to, you know, get rid of any unwanted body fat if you're in that category, because it's going to lower your performance a little bit just because you're restricting calories. So you want to maximize, basically you want to maximize carbohydrates for lean dancers. You want to maximize them even more if you're underweight, and if anyone is overweight, we want to minimize them a little bit until we just start reducing that process and slowly add them back in. Essentially, you just got to earn the right to have your carbohydrates. If you're lean and active, you get a lot of them. If you're overweight and you're not active, and I'm not talking just dancers here, I'm talking the whole entire world, you don't really have earned the right to have energy because you already have enough of it stored. Yeah, so it's really that simple. How much carbohydrates can the body store? It depends on height, muscle mass, and all of those sorts of things. But in reality, the body will probably store around 400 or so grams of carbohydrates at any given time. Okay, now if you're moving all the time, you've got your daily 5,000-10,000 steps per day, you've got a really hard training session of dance class for 2 to 3 hours that night, and so on and so on, you're going to get through pretty much all of those. And so it's always good to have them in your diet. Just look out for, you know, and your energy levels during the day. When people go, you know, I'm feeling tired, do I need more carbohydrates? It's not enough information. Sometimes you'll be tired. If you're really lean and you're tired, the chances are you need more carbohydrates, right? If you're overweight and you're tired, the chances are you got too much carbs going in and you're just tired because of the insulin moving around and the sugar levels are constantly up and low. And so tiredness isn't really a good enough clue. You got to take the tiredness element of what you're feeling, but also refer that against the food that you're eating, refer that against your body weight, refer that against how much movement you're doing, and just really picture yourself. And that's kind of what we're trying to achieve with the academy, is that just getting dancers to understand a little bit more about what food is, but understand a little bit more about their body. Obviously, I've never worked with anybody watching or listening to this individually, and so it's, unless, you know, no one should ever really be given nutrition advice unless they've sat down with you, looked at your history, looked at everything that's happened in the last 5 or 6 years, any, you know, the lowest weight you've been, the highest weight you've been, any food allergies, and so on and so on and so on. But it's still important to understand these things about what carbs are, how we fuel performance, and also gives the especially young girls an idea when they see articles or they see magazines or they see things that say, well, you know, the low fat, the low carb diet is the best way to go and so on. Is it really, or is it just for that demographic of who they're trying to sell that magazine to? And so I really hope that this episode has made you understand what carbs are, how they're going to be beneficial to you, how much that you're going to need, the types of foods you can get them from. And as a dancer at optimal body weight, you really need to maximize your energy performance. Guys, that's it for today's show. We're going to flip on over and go into more protein and so on as the weeks go on. So whilst you're talking about fueling your performance, that's not actually recovering from the performance, okay? Because obviously carbs are going to fuel the performance, but any damage done is going to need to be recovered from, and that's where protein comes in. And we'll go into that a little bit later in the next episode, hopefully. So guys, that's it for today's episode. We are in, I'm in LA with Lauren in a couple of weeks. So we think we're possibly going to try and do some sort of LA meetup, whether we take on a large group somewhere and we all just go and we have a hotel lobby or whatever we'll take over, or we may just do a small group one and make it more intimate and we can go grab food and just sit around a table and talk everything, dance, nutrition, and so on. But if you're in LA and you're interested, I think we're there, maybe the weekend of the 14th, I believe. But just shoot us a mail. We'll throw out some details. It won't be, you know, a huge heads up 2 weeks or so before. It'll just be like the last one that Lauren done in Boston, where it was literally, I think maybe the day or two before. But it will be the weekend. It will be probably be a Saturday if we can make it. And let's just meet up and talk dancing. And if you're somewhere else, hopefully we'll get to you. So guys, that's it for episode 11. If you have any more questions around nutrition, throw them in and we'll try and do 3, 4, 5 podcasts and shows based around nutrition. We'll cover carbs this week. We have a few questions around protein, so we'll try to get those in next week. And then anything more detailed or any questions that you may think of off the back of this one, keep them coming and we'll build on it. Have a good day, guys. I'll speak to you soon.